Welcome to the Diversity Show, everybody. My name is Mark Farzetta. This is presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. I guess we'll do a show today. Still licking our wounds from the Eagles loss and Flyers lose again, though they did show some fight. John Tortorella dropped another just wildly entertaining in-game interview. Now, for those that don't know, the in-game interviews are done at a commercial break. Some people don't know that. They think the game's being played and then they're talking to the coach. I know that happens in baseball. The same thing happens in basketball where the coach gets interviewed during a break in play, like during a commercial break, for instance. Same thing happened with John Tortorella last night on the ESPN Plus broadcast of the game. And John Tortorella did not disappoint. Another fine morsel into the thinking and thought process of John Tortorella. And there was one promise I made you this year, Flyers fans. There's one promise I made you. You would know that there was somebody as pissed off at your team as you were. And that one person would be on the bench. You would know by looking at the bench that you weren't alone when you were frustrated with your team. And John Tortorella, to this point, certainly has not disappointed. Although the Flyers have disappointed. They pick up a point by going into overtime, losing 5-4 to the Columbus Blue Jackets. We'll go through that game. And I was thinking about this Eagles game, and Quentin Michael will join the show because I wanted to know a couple of things. One, I wanted to know if a player ever walked away from a game and walked away from the post-game microphones, and after saying all the right things about how, hey, we have to control what we can control, we can't put the game in the referee's hands, I wonder, like, they ever just be like, yeah, to hell with that. Once the microphones are away, did they ever think to themselves or say to teammates, was it ever discussed, that was on the ref? I can't believe they cost us the game. That horrible call cost us the game. I'm sure it has, because I think at every level of play, from peewee or little league, whatever, all the way up until the pros, up into the pros, I'm sure once the microphones are away, yeah, the ref really cost us the game. I'm sure that happened. So I ask Quentin Michael if anything jumps out to him about that. I also ask about Jonathan Gannon, because I feel like I've had this conversation with Quentin Michael before, and I feel like it was a year ago that we had this conversation where we were talking about Jonathan Gannon and his defense being way too passive. And there was one game last year, and I think it was against the Jets, where they actually blitzed, like on the reg, blitzed. And after that game, Quentin Michael and I had a conversation, and I said, so what do you think about the fact that they blitz more? And he goes, like, and I just never thought about it. He's like, yeah, but those really aren't blitzes. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? They're sending pressure there, aren't they? And he's like, yeah, but when you think about the pressure that they're sending, it's only like a fifth guy, maybe. That's right. You got to bring a linebacker. You got to bring a safety. You got to bring a corner. Somebody that you're not really expecting, that you're not really sure about what they're going to do. You know, once you see five guys around the line of scrimmage, for the most part, they're most likely going to blitz. It's not like you're showing five and then all of a sudden one guy's going to drop back into coverage regularly. So I was like, okay, but that's still more, whatever. He was saying you need to have at least six guys go after the quarterback to really be a rush. So I looked at this game, and I rarely saw it. Watched the condensed game on the NFL Plus now, not NFL Game Pass. And it was the same. It was exactly what you thought it was the first time watching it. There's no pressure. There was nobody aggressive. And yes, unfortunately, they really missed Jordan Davis. Anybody who's watched the Eagles over the last couple of games without Jordan Davis has noticed that offenses are pounding the middle of the line of scrimmage. And going into this game in particular against the Commanders, the Eagles were actually doing, I mean, they weren't like the worst team in the NFL in terms of run defense or anything like that. They were doing okay. Not great by any means, but they were doing okay in terms of run defense. They're ranked about 15th in the NFL in terms of rush yards allowed per game. Not great. Not terrible. Middle of the road. Almost exactly middle of the road. They're averaging about 125 yards per game, surrendering 125 yards per game. Over the last two games, they've given up 168 yards and 152 yards. That's without Jordan Davis in the middle of the line. That goes up there to about the top five in the NFL for where they'd be ranked right now in run defense had Jordan Davis not played a single snap for you so far this season. That's one of the worst in the NFL. Allowing that many rush yards over the last two games is one of the worst averages for rush yards. You would think Javon Hargrave, who I think has been okay this year, Fletcher Cox, you would think Milton Williams, who I think has done fine and had a good game as far as I'm concerned in this last one. You would think guys like that would be able to step up and say, oh, you know, we got this. You know, as good as Jordan Davis is, that's a stacked unit on this football team. The defensive line in general, not just the D-tackle position, but the defensive line in general. And they haven't been able to take care of it. Whether it's TJ Edwards coming up to try to plug a gap, whether that's Kazir White trying to come in and take care of business, whether it's Hassan Reddick coming off the edge to get in the backfield, maybe get a tackle for loss. You would think with this many, not only talented players, veteran players, but these guys, a lot of them have been playing together for a minute. You would think that that wouldn't be as big of a problem for the Eagles. And it has been an awful problem for the Eagles without Jordan Davis. And when we watched him play the first couple of games, just watching him play the preseason, we thought, oh, there's some major potential there. Anybody that even watched him at Georgia knew that there was major potential there. That's why he was a first-round draft pick. But think about how this run defense and how teams' game plans have changed because Jordan Davis isn't here. It really shows you how valuable that rookie has been to this defensive line. Eagles right now, what did I say, top five? Eagles right now would have, averaging without Jordan Davis, the second worst. They'd have the second worst rush defense without Jordan Davis. That's great. We're all having fun here. We're all having a good time. I didn't think that rookie would be that valuable. I knew he'd be valuable. I didn't think he'd be game-alteringly valuable. And that's what I noticed in my second time around watching that game. And you can go back and look at the Texans game, of course, and all that stuff. So that's what I took away. The number one thing, aside from, yes, being frustrated at officiating, yes, being frustrated at turnovers, first and foremost, turnovers. The number one thing after that, after the second time around, was, wow, they really do miss Jordan Davis. And more so than people have been saying. Because people, I feel like, have mentioned it. I didn't expect the Eagles to go from a middle-of-the-road defensive team when it comes to running the football to second worst in the NFL. That's no bueno. Can't have that. So I'll talk to Quentin Michael about that. The other thing is the book out on the Eagles? That's what has come up in this conversation. National media, locally, is the book out on how to beat the Birds. It certainly seems like it is when you're against, when you're not having Jordan Davis out there. It certainly seems like it. Attack the middle of the line of scrimmage, run the football, keep Jalen Hurts off the field. Yes, I think all sports are games of adjustments. This is the next adjustment the Eagles have to make. They have to make sure they have the middle of their defensive line plugged up. They have to make sure that they are base 4-3 the vast majority of the time. And they have to stack the box and make sure the guys aren't running on them. Let them try to air it out. I double dog dare you to air it out on this defense. Go ahead, throw into James Bradbury. Throw into Darius Slay. Throw to CeeDee Deuce, the leader in interceptions in the NFL. And Marcus Epps, by the way, I haven't mentioned his name enough. I think he's been having a great year for the Eagles. In a starter's role full-time, I think he has come up. He's played aggressive at the line of scrimmage. He has gotten into the backfield. He has dropped back well into coverage. He has done it all from the strong safety position, and I love seeing that. So if they can continue to see that, if you continue to see growth from guys like Kayvon Wallace, maybe, then your secondary is only going to get better, and you're already having the two best corners in the NFL. Did they play like it this last game? No, obviously not. But I look more so to the defensive coordinator for the game plan going into this than I do anything else. Because I think Darius Slay knows how to play football. I think the guy is, without question, a defensive player of the year candidate. I don't think he was put in a good position to have success. We always roll our eyes at it. Whenever we reference it, you always think of Andy Reid. You know, I got to do a better job putting my players in a better position to have success. That didn't happen. That is a coach's job. That is a defensive coordinator's job. They didn't do that in this game. They did not put him in a good position to make plays. They did not put him in a good position to have success. So if you are going to stack the box, if you are going to put eight men in there, if you are going to make sure the middle of the defensive line is plugged up to prevent a team from running down your throat, whether you're facing Jonathan Allen, whether you're facing Derrick Henry, if you are going to do it, which you should be doing anyway, even if Jordan Davis was healthy, yeah, force him to throw the ball. All right, if the book is out on the Eagles and other teams are going to try to exploit their weakness, which is crazy to say with Javon Hargrave and Fletcher Cox, but it's the truth, if they're going to attack the middle of the line of scrimmage, then you have to be ready to make that adjustment. Is the book out of the Eagles? Yeah, right now it is. What gives you the best chance to beat the Birds? Well, run it down their throat. And in a sick way, but now the Eagles have to adjust to that. Now, on the other side of that, because I'm not saying he's up there yet. I'm not comparing Jalen Hurts to Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or any of those guys. I'm just saying X equals Y in this one particular thing. It is a great deal of respect and the ultimate hat tip when a defense looks at your offense. In this case, let's just use the most recent example. The Commanders look at Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Miles Sanders and Dallas Goedert. It's a great respect when that defense decides, or excuse me, your offense decides the best defense against their offense is our offense staying on the field. When the opposing offense, like the Commanders in this example, want to stay on the football field with long drives, long says not going for the big play, continuously running the football despite averaging 3.5 yards per carry, keep on running the football and constantly getting into third and shorts and then converting third and short situations. Them doing that with that game plan shows how afraid they are of your offense. And in a sick, twisted way, maybe even say a Disney-colored, rose-colored glasses, it's a huge compliment to Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles offense. Unfortunately, that if they maybe convert a couple of their mistakes, if they don't make a couple of their mistakes, whether it's A.J. Brown coming down with that ball that hit him in the hands and it not being an interception, if it's Quez Watkins coming down with that football and keeping possession of that football, or if you have a little bit of luck on your side, maybe Quez Watkins, when he was going to catch that 50-yard pass, maybe while he's down, you know, he just kind of, the defender just kind of brushes against his spike and he stays down. He's down by contact and the play just keeps going and the drive resumes and they say, you know, score a touchdown. If any of that happens, you're feeling a lot better about this game. You're winning this game. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. And the big plays that the Eagles were going to need to win that game because they barely had the football in their possession, it's a totally different story. So they executed their plan perfectly. They did not give the Eagles time. They did not give the Eagles chances offensively to correct mistakes. The mistakes that they did make in the limited time they had the football. They had the football for maybe even 5 more minutes. Maybe they're coming up with a bigger play. Maybe they're coming in and they're coming up with a touchdown. Is the book out on the Birds? Yes, right now it is. Now it's time for Jonathan Gannon to make the adjustment. Because what they're doing is targeting your defense. What's the best way to beat the Birds? To keep their defense on the field. That means their offense isn't on the field. That means I think the front runner for the MVP award in the NFL, Jalen Hurts. That means he's not on the field also. How do you beat the Birds? Keep their defense on the field. In a sick way, that's a huge compliment to Jalen Hurts and this Eagles offensive unit. Now it's up to Nick Sirianni. Now it's up to Jonathan Gannon. Now it's up to Shane Steichen to make the right adjustments and cross their fingers that Jordan Davis is back before they know it, because this is some ugly run defense, nearly non-existent run defense by the Eagles in this scenario, and they're about to face some pretty good running backs. So we'll talk to Quint Michael coming up in a second about all that. Flyers fans, as promised, I told you before the season, the one thing I can guarantee you is that as frustrated as you'll be with this team, you're going to look at that bench and you're not going to see somebody be stone-faced. You're not going to see somebody that, well, you know, I just think everything's good. I think everyone's doing great. Then we're fine. No, you're not going to see that. You're going to see John Tortorella tell it like it is. Last night, they lose 5-4 to the Columbus Blue Jackets. About 15 minutes, and that's what they say in the interview here, about 15 minutes. I didn't see this live. I think I was getting a soda or something. I didn't see this live. I saw it this morning, and I thought, that's beautiful. John Tortorella, in-game interview, when the Philadelphia Flyers were down, I believe it was 1-0 at the time. Here's Torts on how his team was doing 15 minutes into the game.
Torts, you guys give up the first goal. Just thoughts on your team's start here so far in the first 15-plus minutes.
We suck. We haven't forechecked. We haven't done anything as of right now.
What do you want to see differently?
Forecheck.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, my God. They weren't, for the record. And I will say this, man. I love John Tortorella. I'm so entertained by him, and I think he's, you know, you identify with people that you think are similar to yourself, and he's a passionate man, and he's blatantly honest, brutally honest, and he didn't want no business of doing that interview, and yeah, it was 15 minutes in that. So yeah, they were down 1-0 at the point. In the second period, they came out and they showed fire. They came out in the third period and they showed fire. They go down 2-0 at the start of that second period. Start of the second period. They go down 2-0, and you think, okay, well, that's it. And the Flyers fought back. They tie the game. Travis Konecny gets a goal later in the – or gets an assist, rather. Next thing you know, it's 2-1. Then it's 2-2. Cates had that great goal. The 2-on-none. A little breakaway they had, which was great because they won the faceoff in the defensive zone, took it the rest of the way, were able to score. They tie the game. Hayes got a goal as well to get them on the board. They started to get things going a little bit there. Third period, they allow another goal by Columbus. It was 3-2. And what was interesting about that 3-2 goal, second goal by Jenner. TK had a wraparound opportunity before that to try to go up 3-2 and just missed it. The puck just didn't cross the goal line. They sprawled out and they prevented it from crossing the line. And you would think that would be a deflating moment. The Flyers just kept coming. They go down 3-2. Then the next thing you know, Travis Konecny comes back. They tie the game with a power play goal. It was 4-4. They go into overtime. They lose 5-4. And it was with about a minute and a half left in overtime. But they kept coming. They kept fighting. I think it was the Sealer goal that he got credit for that. Yeah, Sealer's goal that made it 4-3. They came right back with a strong shift. They came right back on the ice. They kept on fighting. They tie. They force overtime. And I thought, well, this is the guy. This is the team that John Tortorella was defending the other night, because it wasn't about talent. It wasn't about effort, which I know is something that a lot of Flyers fans have defaulted to over the years. Ah, they're not hustling. They don't give a damn, whatever it might be. This team gives a damn. This team is playing for this coach. The coach himself wishes they would play better, and I think the coach himself wishes they had more talent on this team. But I might be able to make you a second guarantee here. Just like the first guarantee about knowing that you're going to have somebody on the bench there that's going to give a damn as much as you do as a Flyers fan. This Flyers team, the effort, most likely not going to be the problem throughout this year. If you're a person that defaults to effort and you look at it and see, oh, if they're not scoring goals, then that means they're not trying. That means they have no effort, whatever. This team's got giddy up. We'll see where they are maybe 3 months into the season, 4 months into the season, still to see if they still have that giddy up for this head coach, still see if they're going to play hard for this head coach. But right now, I'll tell you, they're bringing the effort for this bench boss. It's not resulting in points. It's not resulting. I mean, they got a point last night. It's at this point, over the last couple of games here, it hasn't resulted in victories, certainly. But I at least want to watch a hockey team I know really gives a damn and wants to play for their head coach. And who knows, maybe it wears thin a couple more months into the season. But right now, there's no signs of that. Yes, I wish they were better. Yes, I wish they were winning. But at least you know that you got a guy on the bench that gives a damn, and you know you have a team that wants to play for him. So, John Tortorella, keep the brutal honesty coming, because the quickest way to lose Flyers fans is to make them feel like you don't give a damn either, or make them feel like everything's okay. Just one more time, a quick one.
Torts, you guys give up the first goal. Just thoughts on your team's start here so far in the first 15-plus minutes.
We suck. We haven't forechecked.
Get out right there. That's John Tortorella, Flyers head coach. Let me tell you about Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers, in the corner of 8th and Walnut, right on Jewelers Row, where you get the perfect price. You hear it all the time, ladies and gentlemen. The perfect price. What is the perfect price? I'll tell you what the perfect price is. The perfect price is Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. You walk in there. Other jewelers, they mark things way up just to mark it down a couple of bucks in front of you. Make it feel small. You know, it really negotiated well. So I'll tell you what, I'll knock $500 off. As Steven Singer, you're not going to worry about that because you're already getting the perfect price. You sit down, you relax. A real jewelry expert walks you through everything at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, and that is the perfect price guarantee. You also don't have to worry about whether or not there's a sale or a coupon or a promo code or anything like that. You walk into Steven Singer Jewelers and you get the best price. You get treated like a real family member at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Online at IHateStevenSinger.com. That's IHateStevenSinger.com. Without further ado, let's jump on the Rothman Orthopedics guest line. Talk to our man, Quentin Michael, about what the Eagles need to do moving forward. Quentin Michael joins us. Now on the Rothman Orthopedics guest line, the man, the myth, the legend from Q&A and former Eagles safety, Mr. Quentin Michael joins the show. What's up, Q?
What's going on, man? How's it going, man?
It's, you know what? I'm a spoiled man. What can I say? With the exception of the Eagles losing. Oh, and the Phillies losing the World Series. Oh, and the Union losing the MLS. That was fun. And the Flyers being outscored like 100-0 or whatever the hell it's been. It's been a wild ride, to say the least. But I want to start out with this. You and I have talked about Jonathan Gannon and his defensive play calling. And I can remember talking to you last year in that Giants game, that weird like 13-7 Giants game that the Eagles lost, where Jonathan Gannon was just sitting back and waiting for Daniel Jones to mess something up. And it just didn't happen. It felt like this game, and tell me if I'm right or wrong, agree or disagree, this game felt like a regression for Jonathan Gannon's defense. And it's not like he was kicking into high gear with being super aggressive. It was just that I felt that he was super passive in this game against Washington. What say you?
Yeah, I agree with that. It seems like his, his MO when he's facing a young quarterback, I don't know if it's because he doesn't have enough, tape to go on it just seems like he'd rather kind of sit back and wait for a young quarterback to make a mistake instead of attacking. It's something that we hadn't seen all year. I don't know if injuries had something to do with it. I know Avante Maddox, I don't know how late that was of a scratch. Obviously not having Jordan Davis in there. I think all of that kind of played into his decision-making and his play calling, where I think he kind of regressed to playing, not, I want to say soft, but playing not to make a mistake instead of playing aggressive, which in my opinion is the opposite way you should go when you're down a couple guys. I think you should, be more aggressive when you're down a couple guys. So, but I'm not the defensive coordinator. So, what do I know?
Well, you'll say this, not yet. I mean, they got that Jeff Saturday guy. He's the head coach all of a sudden. He was like a mascot 20 minutes ago. Anyway, no, I respect the heck out of Jeff Saturday, whatever. But you get what I'm saying. All right, so you would be a little bit more, maybe a little bit more aggressive, which shouldn't be that hard considering what we saw in that particular game. So how, if you were the defensive coordinator, if you were a guy on the sideline and you were tapping JG on the shoulder, what would you be telling? How would you be using the guys you did have at your disposal?
Well, to me, the biggest thing is I'm not a huge fan. I love Slade, great player. I'm not a huge fan of letting receivers get off the line of scrimmage all the way down the field the entire game. I mean, it's just going to put pressure on your guys the entire game, and it's gonna make it an easier throw. It's going to make it an easier opportunity for big plays to happen. So I would change up my secondary a little bit, have those guys play a little bit more aggressive, and give that front four a little bit of time and get there. Now, listen, I keep wanting to say the R-skins, but I can't say that. The Commanders.
Yes.
They came ready to play. They came hungry. They came ready to fight. They came ready to play hard, and they had a good game plan. And I think – I don't want to say that the Eagles were, playing down to their level. I think that they just kind of thought they had it in the bag because of what happened in the first game. You got a young quarterback. So I just think that – this was a misstep for the entire program, and I think they'll be fine eventually, but you definitely have to start to take notice on, how things are going, because it's not looking good right now.
I'll say this, and this might sound like a homer, but I swear I say this about other teams. It's a great compliment to you as an offense when the other offense is just running the football, looking to burn clock, looking to keep your offense off the field like Washington was last night. I think it's a great compliment to that opposing offense because we know if we let you on the field, you're going to win. So they try to keep Jalen Hurts and this offensive unit off the field. As a defensive player, though, Q, don't you realize that's what's happening? Don't you realize as you're watching this game, they just want to burn clock, keep Jalen Hurts off the field, and then when he comes back on, everything's got to be a rush, and they got to maybe make a rash decision, or maybe they make a mistake. As a defensive player, don't you know that's kind of what the game plan is of who you're facing?
Yeah, I mean, there's no surprise there. This team, especially defensively, they're an attacking style defense. They're a defense that's built to play with the lead, where a quarterback is forced to drop back and you can get after the quarterback. You know, the secondary is playing more aggressive. They're playing off the ball and they're making plays. But, you know, we've seen over the last couple of weeks, especially starting with the Texans and a little bit in a couple of games before that, that the power run game, grinded out kind of the old school style of football, is what this Achilles heel is for this team. So, you know, now I think it's time for them to take notice. Like, listen, we got to get off the field on third down. We cannot allow these teams to just grind the ball and play power football because that's not what we're built to do. So I don't know. I mean, obviously not having Jordan Davis in there has been a huge, huge, you know, issue in these last couple of games. But those other guys, they got to step up, man. They got to step up and get ready to grind it out because these next, what, four or five games is going to be kind of the same type of, you know, game plan they're going to be facing from here on out.
You mentioned Fletcher Cox a couple of times. You mentioned Jordan Davis a couple of times here. How much do you think, not just the Eagles defensive line as a whole, but how much do you think Fletcher Cox misses Jordan Davis in the middle of that defensive line?
Absolutely. I mean, when you got that big guy in the middle, you know, pushing that center back, it's keeping those double teams off of Cox. It's keeping those double teams off the tackle. So, you know, when Jordan's in there and he's such a load, it creates one-on-one situations for all those guys across the board when you're in the five-man front. So I definitely think that Fletch, he is a little bit older. He still can go, though. But at this point in his career, I think he'd rather get out to the quarterback than you know, face double teams all day. So I'm sure he's ready for Jordan to come back or them to kind of figure out what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. Fletcher Cox, by the way. Yeah, not the spring chicken we once knew. 31, he's not, you know, he's not an eld by any means, but there's a lot of miles on that 31-year-old body. How about this? And I have to ask you because it's just so weird. And when you played versus the way they play the game now, there's been a whole bunch of change in player safety, whole bunch of change in terms of way they call the game in general. When you saw the face mask on Dallas Goedert and you saw, first off, it was missed. Second, they had to review it anyway because it was a turnover. So they had to watch the play they just missed, the face mask they just missed. And then also the late hit by Brandon Graham. What were your takeaways from watching those two plays unfold?
My takeaway was, I'm not saying that the game is fixed, but if it was fixed, that's exactly how I would expect it to go. Now, obviously, there's the refs don't really control the game, so to speak. The Eagles still had to go out there and execute, and you know, you got to give it up to the Commanders. They came out with a good game plan and executed. But it's just as frustrating in today's world. It's like everyone is expecting these refs. I mean, there's a lot riding on these games, and they're expecting these refs to really make these type of crucial calls. And when you miss a few of these, and there have been quite a few this year, not just this game, but just seeing it play out. And I know they can't challenge the face mask, but it's like, I want you to get it right the first time. I don't want you to have to go to a replay to go back and try to fix it. I want you guys to get it right the first time. So it is frustrating. Listen, it's one game, but it's tough to watch, man.
I'm curious about this. I'm curious. Oh, real quick, the Brandon Graham hit. What did you make of that?
Oh, I mean, by the rule, it was. I mean, by the rule, you have to say that was the right call because he was already down. It's tough because I know Brandon. I know how hard he plays the game. I know it wasn't intentional. I know it wasn't something that he meant to do. He just plays hard, man. That's how he does it. So it's unfortunate. It was really annoying watching Heineke celebrate like they just won a Super Bowl after that. I was like, come on, man. Like, enough. But, you know, it is what it is. That happens in football.
Mm. My major takeaway was this. I think the NFL has a problem.
if you watch and you talk about player safety and everyone talks about player safety and player safety is the most important thing, how do you watch what happened to Dallas Goedert? Not just with the face mask, but his head being driven into the ground. And how do you not come away with the idea that, oh, maybe having his face ripped off his head, maybe, just maybe, that had something to do with the fumble happening. That play is okay. But the little pity pat, a little, you know, ticky tack thing there with Brandon Graham. Yes, it was the right call. Letter of the law. You're right. And I agree. But what's the more dangerous play? I think it really goes without saying. The Eagles. Oh, let me ask it. So I know I'll say this. I know players will say this and current players will say this as well. But when you're watching this game and then you listen to the post game interviews, everyone talks about how you can't put it in the ref's hands. OK, Q, let me ask you this. OK, you don't have to answer because I don't want you to dime out anybody. But when the microphone was in your face at Lincoln Financial Field and you're like, you know what? We can't let the refs. You know, it's got to be our control. It's our control. We got to do better. It's our job. When the microphone went away, did you guys ever turn to each other and be like, that ref cost us this damn game? Come on. Like, did it ever come out like that? Or did everyone keep the same type of mindset?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, they get cursed out left and right off the field, man. Because, I mean, it's absolutely frustrating. You feel like you've been cheated. You feel like the game's been stolen from you. And it sucks, man. And the other good thing about it is you do get the coaching staff, they do get to send in plays like that and they kind of snitch on the refs like, hey, they missed this call. They missed that call. They missed that call. So they get held accountable to a certain extent. But once the game is over, it's a wrap. So it's just frustrating. You just hope that it doesn't happen in the playoffs or Super Bowl or something like that, which has happened before. So
sure. A little bit. Last thing just about the officiating as far as that goes. When it just comes with the way the Eagles played, if you were a player on the Eagles and the mistakes happened the way they happened in this game, would this be a game you talk about the officiating, or would you say Quez Watkins has to hold on to that football? You know, AJ Brown's got to reel that ball in if it's in his hands. Is it stuff like that, or are you saying, yeah, but the refs really cost us this game?
I mean, the refs did cost the game in certain spots, but I think. I think personally, this team has been spoiled in the sense that they've really had a lot of things bounce their way good throughout this season. And I think that this was really the first game where some of the bad bounces, some of the bad plays, some of the turnovers came back to bite them. So I think this is a situation where the team, they played down to the level of the Commanders. The Commanders played up. They came out hard. They came out aggressive, I think. I think this is a learning experience for this entire team. And I think that in a way, it almost seems like a lot of them are kind of happy that the whole undefeated stuff is over. Now it's like, okay, it's done. That's one less thing we got to worry about. One less question we got to get asked about. Let's just go play ball. So if I'm the coach, I'm looking at it like that. Like, hey, we didn't help ourselves at all. The refs didn't help us at all. Nobody's going to help us. If we want to win this thing, if we want to win the championship, we got to do it all together. And don't worry about anything outside.
Are you then in the school of, it's good we lost now, instead of being asked another question about being undefeated? Are you in the school of, okay, well, you got the loss out of the way, I guess. Are you in that mindset?
Yeah. I think, I mean, because after a while, you as a player, you get tired of answering kind of the same old questions again. And it's unneeded pressure added onto you. Like, of course, everybody wants to be undefeated. You want the undefeated season. But, the other thing that comes with that is you get everybody's best shot. I mean, they want to be the ones that knock the champ off the throne. They want to be the team to, you know, make the undefeated team have a one loss. So, you know, not saying that any of the games are going to be easy here on out, but now that part of it, that mental aspect of it is gone and over with. Now we can just focus on just going out and playing and not worried about making mistakes and losing that thing.
Last thing for you here, bounce back right away, or is the book out on how to beat the birds?
Oh, I think it's been slowly being exposed how to beat the birds. And that's exactly what I said. Grind it out, football, power run game, get all, you know, continue your drives, continue your third down. You got to convert on third down, keep that offense off the field. You know, no turnovers. And honestly, I think this is a crucial point where this team can understand and like look at this game and say, okay, this is the reason why we lost. All right, the turnovers, which they have been fortunate enough to not have so many early on. They've been getting turnovers. that's something that, you know, they got a couple, I think one or two in the game. So that part of it, they continue on. But I think the way to beat this team is grind it out, football and offense, keep their offense off the field, no mistakes, and, you know, make them tackle. Make them tackle for four quarters. Make them play hard, tough-nosed football for four quarters. That's the way to beat this team. And I think this, like I said before, I think it's they're at a spot right now where they can fix it and they can kind of right the ship.
Quentin Michael and Jason Avant make up the Q&A podcast as part of the Inside the Birds Empire, as Moshe and I like to refer to it. What do you got? Now, you guys got a new episode dropping tomorrow, Wednesday. What's going to be on that episode?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Monday night game. Obviously, what's going on there? You know, we're going to talk about the coaching staff and where do we go now from, you know, having this one loss? Is it a big deal? Is it not a big deal? So it's always fun when me and Jay get on. We just talk and, you know, we go over some really deep stuff and sometimes we just kind of crack it up and joke. You never know where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. So make sure everybody check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I don't want to be a snitch or anything, but I saw Jason Avant. I saw Jason Avant dancing at the Jason Kelce event. I'm just saying, is all the man. He can keep a beat. I think you already know that, but he can keep a beat. You already know.
You're doing salsa dancing too. Man. Like,
I did see that. I saw a little of that thing going on. Like, all right, hello. I've said hello. See you, buddy. But you guys do a great job of the Q&A podcast. Make sure you guys check that out as part of Inside the Birds Network. Quentin Michael, always great catch up with you, brother. Appreciate you.
All right, thanks for having me.
The great Quentin Michael, Q himself, joining us on the Rothman Orthopedics guest line. I did see Jason Avant dance, and yes, he could keep a beat. By the way, that's today, the new Q&A podcast with the Inside the Birds Network that drops today. It is like Monday Night Football for me is really weird because you work Monday night, and then you're used to working Sunday night, and then your whole week. Literally, before I hit record on that interview, and Quentin and I were just shooting the breeze. He was like, wait, what's today? And I was like, oh, today's Monday. And he's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. Wait for it. Today's Wednesday, or today's Tuesday. Now today's Wednesday. Today is Wednesday, right? Yeah. Anyway, that was Quentin Michael. I appreciate him coming on. I know a lot of times, I mean, Seth Joyner falls victim to this. Quentin Michael falls victim. Anyone that played for Buddy, anybody that played for Jim Johnson, they fall victim to whether or not they just always think in that mindset of being aggressive and blitzing and sending pressure and stacking the box. And they're like, it's not the way the game's played anymore. You're right. That's not the game. That's not the way the game is played normally anymore. But if teams are going to continue to attack the middle of the line of scrimmage, then you have to defend against it. You can't just say, nope, we're not going to make an adjustment. We're going to make them make the adjustment to the adjustment they already made. No, that's not how it works. You adjust to it. You stop them from doing it. And then you force them to go into what is your stronger suit. This is basic strategy, people. This isn't Sun Tzu Art of War. This isn't highly technical stuff. If they see something they could do to exploit a weakness you have, then you got to make sure that you overcompensate for that weakness for at least a time. And then they're going to go back to what they think they do best. They're not just going to focus on that one thing. If you stop that, then they're going to be forced to do other things. And those other things play more so into your strong suit and don't take as many people in the box or in one area and one specific place to stop their offensive attack. It's this in particular is not checkers. Excuse me. This is not chess. This is checkers in this regard. Then after that, you'll really start advancing things. Then you start playing a little bit more of the chess scenario. But it's not that hard. Run the ball at the middle of the field. You're going to have success without Jordan Davis. Looking over during that interview, I was looking over some more of the game log. And yeah, they're at 160 over the last two games. They're allowing 160 yards on average to opposing teams. That is third worst in the NFL. Prior to that, like I said before, they were a middle of the road team. But I will say after the Jacksonville game,
That's when they started to hit a little bit of a wall in terms of allowing a lot of rushing yards. After Jacksonville, they allowed 124 yards on the ground to Arizona. Not terrible, but still, it was out of character for them. Dallas, they always run the football, 134 yards. And they, of course, had the backup quarterback. Then they go up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, 144 yards. Texas, going up against the Houston Texans, they allow 168 yards. And 152 yards against the Washington Commanders. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 straight games with at least 120 yards rushing by the opposing team. 120, not that bad. Middle of the road. Middle of the road. Start getting into the 130s, 140s, 160s, and then you're starting to have a little bit of a problem there. So those are the games there at 160 you're averaging without Jordan Davis occupying the middle of that line of scrimmage. No bueno. My thanks to Quentin Michael. Now let me tell you about the great people at Manscaped. Manscaped.com, the leader in below-the-waist grooming. Fellas, you want to look good everywhere, right? Well, that's where Manscaped enters the conversation. Manscaped and Manscaped.com. Use promo code Farzy for 20% off and free shipping at Manscaped.com. The leader in below-the-waist grooming. You joined 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, and now their Platinum Package 4.0 is something you'll have to check out. Their lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, their weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer. And they all come with skin-safe technology that helps reduce the risk of nicks so you can manscape with confidence and comfort. And how about Manscaped.com, where you get 20% off at Manscaped.com and free shipping when you use promo code Farzy. How about the amazing people, the incredible people at Freestone Farm CBD, FreestoneFarmCBD.com. If you're looking to try CBD, if you want to switch different to a different CBD, you want to try a different one, Freestone Farm CBD is the one you got to check out. They have all organic inputs in IPM. They grow all their premium hemp flower in the Garden State, and you'll love their strain menu. Their strain menu is something you'll have to check out at FreestoneFarmCBD.com. Like their insane tropical tasting Bayox that clocks into the chart-topping 24.1%, and Super CBD, which is half Hindu.
Kush.
And 21%. Genetics of these guys are off the charts. And there's absolutely nothing synthetic from farm to jar. And after harvest, they carefully preserve all their plant compounds with a perfect three-month cure. Just one look or smell will let you know it's CBD done right. So check out Freestone Farm CBD, FreestoneFarmCBD.com. How about the amazing people at Mojo? The Mojo app. Download it to your phone right now. Available in New Jersey. Must be in New Jersey to trade on Mojo. Now, what's Mojo? Mojo has each player in the NFL, each skilled player, over 300 players from running backs, to tight ends, to wide receivers, to quarterbacks, all with a share price attached to their name. So each player is basically a stock that rises and falls in real time based on on-field performance, news, and anything else that might affect expectations throughout the season. So you can move players all year long because there's no offseason. And you think they're an underrated rookie out there, somebody about to break out? Take advantage on Mojo. Buy low, sell high, make yourself some money. Mojo is available in New Jersey on iOS. Just by downloading the app, you have a chance to win up to $10,000 in free shares of player stock. Click the link in the description below and make sure you sign up. Get $10,000 in free shares of player stock. You'll have a chance to win $10,000 in free shares. Must be 21 or older and physically located in New Jersey to trade on Mojo. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. How about PHL Sports Nation, Philadelphia Sports Nation, enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience across all social media and blogs? That's PHLSportsNation.com. Let's get into the chat check today, see how you wonderful people are doing on this fine Wednesday morning. Alyssa, good morning. Nice to see you. April, I see you. Sean Gillespie, what's going on? Everyone's, I think, coming off that still kicking themselves a little bit after the Eagles. Here we go. Here's April. I'm still annoyed about the loss, but I am glad it is out of the way. I've seen that. I've asked Quinn Michael about it. Here's what I find interesting. And I know I've talked about this before, but even going back to the Super Bowl run, players and coaches love to tell you how much they don't listen to the media. They don't read social media. They don't read the paper, whatever. They avoid it. They don't care what anybody says outside the locker room. That is the greatest lie ever told. And I remember asking Doug Peterson, like, you're saying no one believes in the underdog thing, but like Lane Johnson's walking around in a dog mask. So what do you mean? Nobody cares about the underdog thing. Everybody cared about the underdog thing. I was just at a Jason Kelce event where he unleashed the underdog apparel to help money, help raise money for education and kids programs throughout Philadelphia. The underdog thing has become a huge thing. And the underdog story in Philadelphia is a tale as old as Rocky. Hell, it's a tale as old as Ben Franklin, who came here from Boston with, what, two loaves of bread in his pocket and, like, a dollar, whatever the hell he had, like, walking down Market Street. Oh, this guy's really going to make something. He's an underdog. He's going to make something of himself. And he did. He found a nation, right? It's a tale as old as time, the underdog story. And for whatever reason here in Philadelphia, it just really hits home with us. The Eagles and the undefeated record. They could say all throughout the process, we don't want to hear about the record. No one's listening to the outside noise. It's not about that. It's just about trying to win a Super Bowl, whatever. They can say all that to a blue in the face. Say, oh, we don't pay attention to that. It's not what we're talking about, whatever. The minute they lose, well, glad it's out of the way. Well, I thought he didn't care about what people were saying outside the locker room. Just it's one of those things that I don't think it's harmful to acknowledge. It was odd to me, and you heard Darius Slade, I played it for you yesterday, talking about, yeah, you know, better lose this one than one that really counts. It's like, okay. I thought the Eagles did a phenomenal job week in and week out during their 8-game winning streak to start their season. They did a great job of putting each game in its own individual season. Each week was a season. And they came out and they addressed the season that week. They got ready for the season that week, and they were 1-0 every week. They weren't 8-0. They were 1-0 each week. That's the way they broke it down. I thought they did a great job of doing that to the point where I don't think they had to worry about ever having an undefeated season. Oh, the questions. I've been in that locker room a lot. I've seen players just brush off questions. The questions to me shouldn't be a distraction to anything. Oh, it puts that mindset in your head. Okay. But if you know what's real and what's fake, like words are fake. Like, words aren't affecting or shouldn't affect what goes on in the football field. Being asked the same question over and over again for, you know, 8 weeks, I'm sure could be annoying. But are you getting down as Jason Kelce? Are you getting down as a center? Are you dropping back into coverage if you're a linebacker thinking, all right, I'm defeated, got to keep it going? Or are you thinking, I better stop this play, whatever it is. I've watched the film. I've studied. I've done my homework. I think I have an idea of what it is. Let me react. Are you thinking about media questions when you're on the field? Apparently, the whole time they were talking about it, no, we don't, it doesn't affect us. So, as soon as the loss actually happened, well, yeah, I mean, we're just glad it's over. Huh? My point is, I wish whatever was being said in the locker room, I wish whatever was being asked in press conferences, I wish it wouldn't have an effect on anything. But I guess, I don't know if I guess you could chalk it up to only being human. That it's just it's something that's going to get to you eventually if enough people keep asking about it. Sean Gillespie, I'd rather have a non-conference loss, or about non-division, but hopefully, unlike the Eagles teams, they can make adjustments that stick. Yeah, unlike past Eagles teams, Sean, I hear you. And April, I hear what you're saying, but apparently you're right, April. That's what people were looking at. That's what players were looking at, getting the loss out of the way. Sean Gillespie, playing scared is what Gannon was doing in the Commandos game. Yes. Yeah, it certainly looked like it. Good morning, Alyssa. April, Fletcher was definitely getting beat on Monday. It was bad. T-Barb, 1223. What's up, T-Barb? Jonathan Taylor, 150 this week. It's possible. Mi Sanchez. Good morning, Mark. Everyone, Flyers are officially what we expected. Torch is the only hope. Blue Jackets are worse than us. At least we got the Eagles and Sixers. Hopefully Doc leaves soon. Let's keep on hoping. Sixers aren't back at it until tomorrow. Got the Bucks game tomorrow. So it's going to be a minute before the Sixers get after it. But yeah, as far as the Flyers go, they are exactly what I thought they'd be. Not a very good hockey team. But a lot of giddy up on the job. John Tortorella has done so far what I think most people expected, which was light the fire under these guys' butts. You want to talk about effort? It's definitely there. He has definitely lit that fire. Now it's just a matter of whether or not he can keep that going and whether or not these guys continue to buy into what he's got going on. I'll be amazed if this Flyers team has like a post-January run. I really will. Like, where they actually give us some hope, or maybe they rattle off 10 in a row or something like that. I'll be amazed by that if that's what actually happens after January. If they have something like that after the holidays, after Disney on Ice comes to the Wells Fargo Center and they do that West Coast trip and then they come back. Like, I want to see if they're still playing for Tortorella, if they're still fighting for Tortorella, if they're still responding to Tortorella, and then see if you actually can rise above the talent level that many people, myself included, expected them to have going into the season, which was not very high, but I'll have my fingers crossed. Sixers will be back at it after a long layoff after Joel Embiid's. Oh, that's the chat check. Thanks, everybody. You guys are great. Let's move on to the Morning Rush brought to you by Sky Motorcars, skymotorcars.com. Football news today, today is Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni is supposed to address the media after he's watched the tape, so look forward to hearing what he had to say about this game and then moving on to the Indianapolis Colts. Also, we'll take a look at Jalen Hurts. We'll address the media today. So Hurts and Nick Sirianni have press conferences today. Look forward to seeing what they have to say, hearing what they have to say. That goes down as far as the Eagles go. Tomorrow will be Jonathan Gannon and coordinators and a couple players as well. So that's what the Eagles got going on for you, but leading up to their 1 o'clock kickoff against Jeff Saturday's Indianapolis Colts. And I was thinking about this yesterday. Does Nick Sirianni have a little, does he have a little extra added motivation to stick it to the team that just fired his boy, Frank Reich? Does he have a little extra added motivation? We'll see. We'll see if he does. So that's what's happening today in our world. Flyers, as I mentioned, 5-4 losers last night to the Columbus Blue Jackets. They dropped to 7-6-3 on the season. They're back at it tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at Boston when they go to visit the Bruins. And the 76ers will be back in action tomorrow night against the Milwaukee Bucks. So hopefully we'll see another historical performance from our boy Joel Embiid. That game will be on ESPN. It's a 7:30 tip-off in South Philadelphia. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, everybody. My name is Mark Farzad. This is The Farzy Show, presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. Jim Hyder produced the program, did a wonderful job as per usual. My thanks to Quentin Michael for joining us, breaking down all things defensively for the Philadelphia Eagles. Be back with you guys tomorrow to talk about what Nick Sirianni has to say and Jalen Hurts had to say at the press conferences today. Have a wonderful rest of your day, everybody. This is The Farzy Show. It's a Buzz Sports Entertainment production. Have a great day, everybody. See ya.